Guys, how you doing?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
What's poppin'?
I know you have a lot to discuss here tonight and promote. And shout out to Vince for setting this up. I know you got a lot to talk about and promote on the show here tonight. So, how are you maintaining during this coronavirus epidemic?
I'm going crazy, man. I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm going crazy.
you're recording still?
Yeah. I'm quarantined. I'm in my car right now. I just come to my car, I come smoke, go right back upstairs. Like, shit. You know what I'm saying?
There's not much to do during this whole epidemic.
No, there's really not. It's like an unfortunate thing, but at the same time, hey, man, we got to do what we got to do.
For sure.
You know?
And I want to start off with getting a little background about yourself. You're from Brooklyn, so tell me what it was like growing up in Brooklyn.
I mean, my era, the 90s growing up in Brooklyn was crazy, you know, it was lit though,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I grew up on Bed-Stuy, I grew up on Myrtle Ave, so that whole area right there, you know, there's a lot of gentrification now,
yeah.
But before that, you know, it was the hood, you know. At the same time, everybody was kind of like a family, like, you know, the community stuck together a lot more, you know what I mean? Because it'd be generations passed down and people knowing each other, so... You know, it's a lot different now, but at the same time, I appreciate where I came from. I appreciate how I grew up, you know what I mean? Especially being Latino, too, because right now, I'm a voice for the Latino people,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not like I'm Mexican, or it's not like I'm, like, from Cali or something like that. Like, I have a unique background where it's like we're still hood, we're still minorities, plus Puerto Ricans are, like, one of the first... Like pioneers in hip hop,
mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, it's a dope background. You know what I mean? I represent a lot, so I like it.
You mentioned gentrification before, and I've heard stories that they were gonna take the Biggie painting off of the building in Brooklyn. I've heard that plenty of times.
You breaking up?
Oh, can you hear me? You got me?
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard many times though that they were trying to take the Biggie painting off the building in Brooklyn.
Last year, I think they were trying to do that.
Yeah, what's your reaction to that?
Oh, no, nah. But that's another thing about, like, gentrification. Like, they're not understanding culture.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a big thing with gentrification. It's like, okay, you guys are moving into our neighborhoods, but you're going to have to respect our history. You know what
yeah.
I mean? You're not just going to wipe out our history and no one knows exactly, you know, the community that built this from the bottom up, you know? And, I think Big is huge. You know what I mean? Like he's a huge influence. He's a big staple in our community. You know, he got a street named after him.
Yeah.
It's only right. You know what I mean? So that owner, I think they realized that they would get a lot of bad business, or
yeah.
business would be really fucked up if they didn't oblige to the community.
Yeah.
And
if they did that,
keep it there.
There'd be so many people pissed off at that.
Word.
You
definitely.
Can't do that. I mean, Biggie defined Brooklyn in many ways.
Nah, exactly. Like he personifies Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
Yep.
You know, you got a movie after you, everything. Like, nah, man, you can't just do that.
Yeah.
You know.
Were you there the day they unveiled the street name for him?
Say that again. You keep on hitting. Now it's like your mic catches and then it goes out.
Let me see. Were you there the night that, or the day they unveiled the name for him on the street?
I wasn't there that day. I was out of town, actually. But a lot of my peoples was there. Like, I'm cool with Little C's.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I have relationships with Nino. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
A lot of people from Junior Mafia. Even the DJs and Enough and, you know, all those people that were there. So, it's so many people that was there. It was like a family. Like, I didn't miss it. But I personally wasn't there. I was out of town. I was in Cali at the time.
Oh, okay. I've had DJ Enough on one of my shows when we were in the studio, not in quarantine. And
yeah.
We were having a discussion about Big Pun. And he was telling me that he didn't think Big Pun wouldn't have got that recognition for Still Not a Player if Joe wasn't on that song. Do you believe that?
If Joe wasn't on what? On the song?
Yeah, for Still Not a Player.
I mean, he helped him cross over. But you know where that formula came from? That came from the Puff Daddy formula. Yo,
yeah.
Look, these guys are dope spinners. Get somebody that can sing, make a catchy hook, and just let them rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't like a lot of them wouldn't have gotten noticed like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You look at Biggie. Biggie had Juicy.
Yep.
You know, he had a whole sample. You know, it is what it is, you know, but back then, like, it was a formula, you know what I mean? A lot of people give, what, Diddy that credit, you know, he understood melody and mixed it in with the hip-hop, and that shit took off. So Pun, Biggie, even Tupac at certain times, you know, he had those records.
Yeah.
A lot of them had that at that time, but it was a formula, you know, and it worked.
It did. They were hit records.
It definitely did.
Now, tell me, when did you start rapping?
Like 14.
14?
Like 14, yeah. Like I would learn records, like hear records on the radio, and I have my little tape, and I record all the new songs,
yeah.
And I just play them while I'm playing video games, you know what I mean, all day. And then I would just learn the records, like I would know them by heart, you know? So from there, it goes into writing and then trying to figure out a flow. Then I understood what bars were somewhat were, and then my boy, shout out to my guy Shay A Jr. He made beats in high school, so we would just be rapping at the lunch table, and then we'll cut class and go to his crib and try to rap.
Man.
You know what I mean? And we went to school in Brooklyn, and he lived in Far Rockaway, and
like
I truly trained all the way to Far Rockaway just to record. You know what I mean? And from there, it just kept growing to, you know what I mean,
yeah.
to record deals and battle rap and all that. It's crazy. It's crazy.
What were some of those records that you learned by heart?
The songs?
Yeah.
What I didn't know. Anything that's hip-hop 90s. Jay-Z, Biggie, Pac, Pun,
yeah.
Fat Joe, Ja Rule, 50 Cent, all the cool mixtapes.
The legends.
All the rappers. Cam'ron's albums, Mace's albums, Beanie Siegel's albums. Like, I knew all of them by heart.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say that gave you an edge to being a battle rapper?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
'Cause back then, to get on, you would have to battle dudes in your hood.
Yeah.
I would battle everybody. I was going to the projects. I was going to Fort Greene. I was anywhere. Oh, word, he spit. Oh, my man spit. Oh, word, spit something. Spit. And then it turns into it, you know? And then after a while, I just became the best in the hood.
Yeah.
Once I was the best in the hood, it was over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like, okay, you get a boost of confidence. And then from there, I just started taking my talents to different things and going certain places and performing songs. I wasn't shy. I was never shy.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? And people fuck with that.
Now, 14, you also started battle rapping at that age too, or was it a few years later?
Nah, I was just learning how to rap at
okay.
that time, you know what I mean? But I would say, like, the battles would start happening maybe once I was, like, 19, you know, hanging out on the block and dudes pulling up and stuff.
Yeah.
And you just have battles and, you know, you ciphers and all types of shit.
What would you say was your first big battle?
There was this dude named Mikey Dread, and my man Pooch used to always tell me about it. He was an older dude. And one day he just driving, we all chilling in the park, and he just hops out the truck and just starts rapping at me.
Wow.
And everyone was looking like, what the fuck? And I'm like, who is this dude? And he's like, I told you, me and Mikey Dread, son. I told him, I was like, oh, shit, right now? Like, they were just on the spot. And he was a grown man. I was like 18, 19. He was like 25, 26. I just started going into the memory bank, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the shits I had in my rap book. I just started spit. Niggas respected it, though. He was like, oh, shit. The nigga got some shit, you know what I mean? We battled until we ran out of verses for like 2 hours.
Now, what was your first big battle with a major crowd around it?
I would say Head Ice was my first big battle, the one in the Lion's Den in Harlem, because it was so many people. But, like, you know, building up to it that year, I would battle in small crowds. You know, from Fight Club to the Grind Time events, I would battle, let's say, in front of 100, 200 people. But then when the Head Ice thing happened, maybe it was like 500-600 people, you know? And then after that, it went to URL, and then from there, it just started becoming big crowds where it's like, oh shit, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, and also like when I usually watch some of these clips of the battle raps on Instagrams from yours and other battle rappers, what do the crowds usually on the stage do for people that don't know?
What do you mean? Like who are they? Or
yeah,
like,
yeah.
What do they do exactly?
Yeah, what do they do exactly? Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those people are the entourages.
Okay.
So, like, half the dudes from my hood that always come with me to battles, half the dudes from my opponent's hood. And then, you know, you got all the people that are, like, the celebrities come, all the models. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you got to have that reaction on camera. I feel like if you don't see reaction or hear reaction, the battles come across weird. You know what I mean? So it's like, and these are people that are really in tune with the culture. The people that get on stage are like the people that know everything. They get every bar, they get every reference. They know exactly what you're talking about, you know, for the most part. And that's needed, because when I'm spitting something, especially now with battle rap, it's more like the content is connected like a soap opera. Like, oh, but you didn't see when he battled this guy, that's why he's saying this about him. Because that time he did this and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you gotta catch all the references. And the crowd usually on the stage are the people that catch all that.
What would you say is the key to gaining the crowd on your side?
That what?
What would you say is the key of gaining the crowd to be on your side?
Can't tell you that. That's a secret. Nah, to be honest with you, you just have to understand the crowd that you're rapping in front of. You know, I've rapped in London. I've battled in Australia, I've battled in Canada, I've battled all over the U.S., and I have to understand the demographic. Once I understand what the people want to hear in that part of that region, then I make sure I cater to that. If I'm in Seattle, and I'm battling a dude from Seattle, then I might do my research and learn about the streets, or learn about a big festival that's going on out there, or some shit like that. Why? Because then when I bring it up, they're gonna be like, "Oh, he knows about that," and it gives a certain connection, and people respect it. Like, "Yo, he did his homework." Like, I battled Ines from the band, from Making the Band.
Oh yeah.
I battled him in Philly, and I had mentioned something about like where Kobe Bryant was from and how he's from there, and I started mentioning streets and certain hoods, and they was like, "Oh, he did his research."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's how it goes.
What would you say is the most difficult crowd to battle rap in front of?
That what?
What would you say is the most difficult crowd to battle rap in front of?
The URL crowd. URL crowd, no matter where you at, they are the biggest crowds, the heaviest crowds, you know, they're on it. But at the same time, they're the best crowd too.
Yeah.
No, but you gotta entertain. If these people are paying $100, $200 for tickets. So they want to be entertained, you know?
Exactly. You got to make the money they spend worthwhile. They don't want to go there and be bored.
And every time you step on stage, it's new material. So it's not like it's like if Jay-Z does a concert, he's spitting the same songs. He knows the crowd is going to love this song.
Yeah.
He knows how they're going to react to each record. Me, every time I go on stage, it's like, yo, like, I got new material this time, you know?
Tell me what the UK crowds are like.
Tell me what?
Tell me what the UK crowds are like, because I know they love the lyrics in that real hip-hop over there.
Oh, no, they love real hip-hop.
Yeah.
They are super passionate. You know, I love London. London has been great to me. I battled out there, I think, 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's been great to me. Great. You know what I mean? So, you know, I love the UK. I really love the UK. They appreciate you, and they treat you like royalty. You know what I mean? They treat their artists. Even if you're a regular hip-hop artist, you go out there, they're going to treat you like you're A-lister.
Yeah.
So I love it out there.
Yeah, I've had many discussions with rappers, especially old-school ones, like Mr. Cheeks, who told me they love touring over there.
Hell yeah. And there's bags out there, a lot of bags out there.
Yeah.
But you can go to each place, each country, you know?
Because the whole hip-hop culture right now is messed up. Everyone's listening to what's playing on the radio, and now you got this drill sound coming out.
Uh-huh.
It's just... When's the lyricism going to come back fully into the mainstream?
To be honest with you, I like some of the drill rappers, though. I think some of them got lyrics.
You think so?
Like the Chef G or Sleepy Hollow. You know, like some of these guys can actually rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's to each his own. Some of them can rap, some of them can't, you know?
Yeah.
I cater to the ones that can make music, though.
Yeah. Well, how'd you feel about Pop Smoke?
How did I what?
Feel about Pop Smoke.
I thought he was going to be something special.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought he was going to be something special because he had he had the ladies first off. The girls loved him. The gang culture messed with him. At the same time, he had an authenticity about him. He had a section in Brooklyn that ain't been represented the right way. So, you know, that always counts when you take a section of New York on your back, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, he was making the party records, but still keeping the street. That's a hard balance, you know? But he was doing it. And I think he was on his way, to be honest with you.
Mm. Do you think some of these drill rappers can battle rap?
Nah. Let them drill. Let them stay drill, man. It's different.
Oh, man. So how do you feel about the overall hip-hop scene right now?
Hip-hop in general?
Yeah.
I feel like everyone has an identity. I feel like the hip-hop scene needs to just understand that there's certain demographics. Like, I'm a lyricist.
Yeah.
I make music, too. So when people listen to my music, I know what they expect. When they see Cortez, oh, I hit bars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like me and Method Man did a record.
Classic
so,
remix.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not going to do a girl record with Method Man. It's
yeah,
like,
no.
That's not what they're expecting from Cortez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, cool. You understand your demographic, you cater to it. You know what I mean? I'm a lyricist. People love me for that. Boom, I'm going to spit my dope lyrics. You're a drill rapper, stay in your lane. If you're an R&B singer, stay in your lane. If you do that little auto-tune, rappity, swag shit, stick to that. You know what I mean? As long as you stay in your lane with music and you keep authentic to the lifestyle you live or what you represent, I feel like you always will find fans and create a fan base.
Yeah. How do you feel about the artists like Tory Lanez who will go on Funkmaster Flex and rap and then make R&B records at the same time?
He's fired. He's fire. He's different. He's special. You know what I mean? Tory Lanez, I feel like he's one of the most gifted writers. And he can sing. He understands vocal projection. He understands tone. He understands sound. He understands highs and lows, because he'll have one song where he's rapping with a high pitch, another song where he's got the low pitch. He understands cadence. He's just a great artist overall.
Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned before the record with Method Man that you have, the classic remix, what was it like making that record with him?
Bananas. He kept it so official with me. You understand?
Yes.
He got the studio for me. He told me to pull up. You know what I mean? He was like, yo, this the record you want me to get on? You know what I'm saying? Like, he did everything. I told him, yo, I need the video. Yo, I'm pulling up. Just set it up for me. Like, it don't get no easier than that with someone like him.
Mm-hmm.
He's by far the realest industry cat I've met.
Now, how did you guys originally link up?
Me and Matt?
Yeah.
Through battle rap. He loves battles.
Battle rap, yeah. I see him on Instagram. He's always mentioning you.
Man, yeah. He's official, man. He's official. There's nothing else I can say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he just keeps it a buck, and I love that. You know what I mean? And just knowing that someone like him respects me and fucks with me, bro, like, what else can I do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I have to oblige to it. You know what I mean? And understand that, yo, like, if he believes in me and he respects my talent, can't nobody tell me nothing.
Yeah. And, I mean, you must be doing everything right for Method Man to acknowledge you for sure and what you are doing, that you represent the real hip-hop and lyricism. And that's what we need in the hip-hop culture.
Big facts.
So how about you tell me, what are some upcoming records that you have releasing that we can expect?
I'm working on my project. This whole pandemic, like, kind of slowed down the recording process. But I got a record with Jacquey out that's coming out called Static. I have another record with Devon Terrell. I'm working on some other records, working on some other features. And it's just like, this project, by far, like, the 16's and Better project, gained a lot of attention for me.
Yeah.
But this one right here is going to be different. This was going to be a much more mature Cortez. And I want the people to hear it. You know what I mean? I was aiming for April, but now it might be pushed back a little bit more.
Whenever this epidemic ends.
Exactly.
Now, who are some other artists that you want to get on one of your tracks in the future? And if you want to work with artists like Method Man from the 90s, who would you want to work with?
I want to work with the Griselda dudes. I want to
Griselda.
Work with Conway. I want to work with Benny.
West Side Gun.
Mm-hmm. West Side Gun. I want to work with, actually, Tory Lanez, to be honest with you. someone like that. I think he's just an overall great talent.
How about Dave East?
Dave East is wild cool. We've met a couple times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I definitely would love to work with East. I think Fabulous is someone that was like at the top of my list as well, Jadakiss.
Mm-hmm. How would you say battle rap has changed over the years from when you first started?
It's much more lucrative. Mm-hmm. My life, it changed my life now.
Yeah.
You understand? It's much more lucrative. It's much more of a business. You know URL has an app now. It's like, we're lit. You know what I mean? Super lit.
Now, any upcoming battles in the near future that you were scheduled for?
Well, I was in Orlando last week to battle Rum Nitty, the headline, and it got canceled because of the corona thing while we was out there. We was actually preparing that morning to battle later on, and the venue closed that day on us. So we was like, wow. So I'm sitting on battles right now.
Man. Oh, man.
I can't wait, though.
Have they gave you an update on when you can expect the battle again, or just stay tuned?
When everything is lifted, then we'll know what venue could be booked and certain things like that. If it's in New York City, you got to pull up.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be there. I love to see. I've never been to a battle rap, so I'd like to see it, though.
Nah, that's dope. I got you.
Yeah. Who are some battle rappers that we can look forward to on the come up?
On the come up, Don Marino, Loso, my boy Rambo, my man Iron Mars from Detroit. I have also a development league. Me and my boy Brad Reezy, Goon Cash Rump. It's my best friend right there. We also do a development league. So like, if you ever know dudes that want to get into battle rap or try their shot, we do tryouts. I host the battles. I watch. I give tips. And I try to help build them and move them in the right direction, too.
What are some of your favorite battle raps that you've been in?
Myself versus Hitman Holla on Wildin' Out. Me versus Conceited from Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
Me versus B-Dot. Me versus Daylight. Cortez versus New Jersey Twerk. Cortez versus Head Ice. I got so many battles, bro. I have 80-plus battles.
Yeah, you have a lot. Battle rap.
The Australia battles, Dundee. That was a great one. Hollahan, I can't never forget Hollahan. That's probably my biggest battle of all time.
What would you say was some of your most difficult ones?
Hollahan, Hitman Holla, Conceited. Even though those were my biggest ones, those are the hardest ones.
Yeah.
You know, Aver. I've had a few. I've had some wars, too. You know what I mean? For real.
Now, do you usually prepare some of the lines in your head beforehand that you're going to say? Or is it all on the spot?
Nah. They book us like it's UFC. We get booked for a contract. Hey, are you available this day? Maybe a month and a half in advance. You'll say, yeah. They'll be like, all right, cool, boom. We work out the money. You send a deposit. You can start promo. I'll start writing. And then we pick up our second half the day of, you know. We mostly usually prepare at least a month.
Yeah. That's good, though.
Hell yeah.
You get a long amount of time to prepare for the battles. And we opened up the show with the new song that you dropped, I believe it's Bodega.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me about those visuals. Where was those shot?
Oh, that was shot in Brooklyn, Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Okay.
Actually, I just drove by the Bodega the other day. They actually closed it down, gentrification.
I thought they closed it down.
That was a vintage Bodega that I found.
Wow. I thought they closed it down because of the whole pandemic going around. I didn't realize it was gentrification.
It's down. It's shut. It's like, it's gone. I was like, oh, shit.
Do you think the gentrification is going to stop?
That what?
Do you think the gentrification in Brooklyn is going to eventually stop?
Oh, no. I mean, my area, Williamsburg, all that is, like, super lit right now.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know when they're going to stop building, but it's completely different. For the better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a better lifestyle, but, you know, as long as they're not kicking us out, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. And I know you had a lot that you wanted to discuss tonight, as you told me when I first contacted you and we connected about the interview. What are some other things that you want to tell the audience tonight?
I mean, it was supposed to be right after the Rum Nitty battle.
Oh, okay.
So now that it got canceled, it's like, you know what I mean? We working on this J.R. Ryder battle, me versus J.R. Ryder. We're trying to really lock that in. You know, I just dropped a blog about him on my channel earlier today. So, you know, if you didn't, subscribe to my YouTube as well.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, bro, I'm just here working. I'm working on music, working on battles. And when people think of Cortez, I always want people to think of hard work. You know what I mean? No days off. I'm always on the grind.
Yeah.
You know? It's just very unfortunate with all this stuff going on. A lot of things on pause right now.
Yeah.
But I'm working.
Yeah, and we can see that from your Instagram, too. And another question that I had regarding battle rappers and lyricists, how come there's always that stereotype that lyricists and battle rappers can't make good records?
I think that was an old stereotype. And I think it was true. A lot of those artists back then couldn't make music, from Jin to Sirius Jones to even Murder Mook, you know. But I feel like these guys had no guidance. They had no stories to talk about. They're just 18, 19-year-old kids rapping.
Yeah.
I feel like if you want to be an artist, like making good music and having some substance, you have to have lived a little bit of life. You have to be in your mid-20s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have something to actually rap about and talk about. So, you know, I feel like now us battle rappers are so big. Like, we're huge to the point where we have our own brands and we're our own brand. We're our own identity. We don't need a record label. We don't need nothing. We just go out and we put out content. And the fans respond to it.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like now we're in a better space because I don't need a label to tell me what to put out, what not to put out. I just drop music. I release music when I want. And they fuck with it.
You're independent then?
Yes.
Yeah. And what would you say are the benefits for you for being independent?
I'm my own boss.
You're your own boss.
I work at my own pace. You know, but at the same time, the money that I make as an artist, I have to reinvest in my brand, and I have to reinvest in myself.
Mm.
So, you know, it's really about learning, balancing stuff out, but for the most part, it's good.
And I know a lot of artists that are moving towards the independent way. Do you think the record companies will eventually die out, or they'll have to redo the what
they're trying to do? Reevaluate certain
things.
I feel like the concept of a record deal has already died out. I feel like it's just a matter of having momentum and making sure you have a backing, a financial backing. You get the financial backing, social media is so big, you don't really need to do much to get everywhere. You just need a presence.
Yeah, and I also know that you have a record with Tay Rock, I believe.
Off the Corner.
Yeah, that's right. What was it like working with him on that track?
It's my guy right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We did that shit right after a battle. Real talk. We just went to the studio. We did that shit in like an hour. Felt the beat, laid it down, hard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. We didn't waste no time. We put it right out and the public loved it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I remember hearing that record and that was a hit in my eyes. What do you think the key is for lyricism and people that do lyrics to gain the mainstream attraction again?
You breaking up again.
What do you think is the key for lyricists to get the mainstream attraction again?
What is it going to take for one?
Yeah.
I think it's just making the right music. I'm not even looking at the mainstream attraction. I just think when a lyricist, like right now, like you have to be able to connect with what's going on with the public right now.
Yeah.
So if someone has the right record that touches the right type of feeling and sparks some type of feeling when people listen to it, it doesn't matter if you're a lyricist, if you're a singer, if you're a drill rapper, it doesn't matter. Like, as long as you can invoke emotion in what's going on right now, it becomes a hit because everyone relates to it. And a lyricist can do that all the time with shit like this that's going on and all that, you know?
Yeah, and I thought about this earlier for a while too. I feel as though production has changed over the years, in which New York has lost its sound in the production because the 90s with the boom bap.
Production's at an all-time high.
You think so?
Yeah, production is at an all-time high. It's just not boom bap.
Mm.
But the drill records and the, like, even like these R&B records, we have a crazy beats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So production's at an all-time high. I just feel like the New York artist has lost his identity.
Yeah.
You understand? So if he's trying to be like everybody else, then you're not going to realize the New York sound, you know? But that's why I like Pop Smoke. I feel like he still kept it New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? People like that. That's why I like Sleepy Hollow. That's why I like Chef G. I feel like they're still sticking true to New York.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the New York rapper lost his identity?
I feel like the New York rapper lost his identity during this whole Down South wave.
Yeah.
It's like we tried to rap like them instead of just continuing to rap like us. I also feel like hip-hop left New York. They went to Atlanta. You know, a lot of labels are down there. A lot of independent stuff are down there. And the Down South artists work together. They don't compete. New York rappers want to beef with each other.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like we leaving that slot over while these guys are all working together, doing collabs, making money, selling out shows. And we're fighting with each other to be a headline. You know what I mean? And not getting no money.
Yeah, and that's a good answer to the question, because I've had that many discussions with people as well. That's a good point that you make, that these record companies left for New York. They focused more on what the South was doing.
Exactly. There's nothing out here. Oh, there's one artist, there's three artists, and all three of y'all argue with each other, but I could go down here and get all three of these artists from the South on the same bill with the same money, and they all gonna do the after parties, and they all getting cake, and they all gonna do music together. You know what? I'm gonna go down here. You know, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
It's business.
You're right. And is there anything else you want to get out to the audience tonight, Cortez?
Nah, my G. I just want everybody to know, man. Stay safe out here.
Yes,
wear gloves. And I'm going to be releasing a lot of content after April. Like, a lot of content. You're going to see a lot of battles released. You're going to hear a lot of music. And that's what I'm really excited for right now.
Oh, I have another question with this whole pandemic going around. What happens if this were to take numerous amount of months for it to clear up? Because I'm hearing it could take 8 months, it could take 6 months, and the battles are just not going to happen until then. Will you do some virtual type of battles then?
I'll figure something out, you know? But, you know, I mean, we got to do what we got to do to stay safe. You know what I mean? Life comes first, family comes first, you know? But, man, we got to figure something out.
Yeah, staying home's important.
I'll see you home.
Yeah.
Be home.
Hey, right now I'd be in the studio. I got to keep doing what I'm doing or people are going to forget about me here. Got to keep going.
Word.
Now's the time to reevaluate your life
definitely.
And keep investing into the craft.
Big facts.
Yep. Cortez, I want to thank you for calling in tonight, FaceTiming as we call it, for the interview. I had a great time talking with you.
I got you, my G. Stay safe.
No, no doubt. And when you're ready to release more content, you know, you got to call back in.
I got you. You're going to pull up to a battle, you heard? I'm gonna bring you through.
For sure, man. I'd love to see a battle. Lyricists only. Bars only. That's it.
Yeah. I got you, bro.
All right, Cortez. Take care.
All right.
All right. Peace. I'm with the have nots, movies. These drove by, I got the crack rock, movies. Then I murder ass with the stash box, hoofy. Just another product of that matchbox, Lucy's. Now you can see it through my eyes. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight with my interview with Cortez. Stay tuned to my Instagram at TheRealMax, TheRealMax. We got a show here Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Stay tuned. Good night, everyone. Stay safe.